Kinks and Come Dancing, and the Mavericks with Dance the Night Away to start the hour. 8:15, the Full English Breakfast Show. You'll love this, Sarah. Physicists have uncovered a potential flaw in a theory that explains how the building blocks of the universe behave. The Standard Model, SM for short, is the best theory we have to explain the fine-scale workings of the world around us. We've known for some time that the Standard Model is a stepping stone to a more complete understanding of the cosmos. Hints of unexpected behaviour by a subatomic particle called the Beauty Quark could expose cracks in the foundation of this decades-old old theory. Should play some Hawkwind now, shouldn't I? But we don't have time. The findings emerged from data collected by researchers working at the Large Hadron Collider, the giant machine built in a 27-kilometre-long circular tunnel underneath the French-Swiss border. You don't sort of think about that when you're driving over that area, do you? There's a massive tunnel underground. It smashes together beams of proton particles to probe the limits of physics as we know it. The mystery behaviour by the Beauty Quark may be the result of an as-yet-undiscovered subatomic particle that's exerting a force, but the physicists stress that more analysis and data is needed to confirm the results. There are building blocks of our world that are even smaller than the atoms. Some of these subatomic particles are made up of even smaller constituents, while others can't be broken down into anything else. The latter are known as fundamental particles. The Standard Model describes all the known fundamental particles that make up the universe as well as the forces they interact with, but it can't explain some of the biggest mysteries in modern physics, such as dark matter or the nature of gravity. Physicists know it must eventually be replaced by a more advanced framework. He's still with us.
No, I've lost complete interest.
Read The Fly in the Cathedral.
Okay.
Very good book.
I can't be the only
about
one out there.
Splitting the atom. No. I think you're not alone.
None of us are alone.
But there's something out there that we don't know about. And it could be the key to everything.
Could be. Or not.
8:17.
And now it's time for Woofer of the Week on 106.5 Riviera Radio.
Wednesday mornings means Woofer of the Week. Hello, Dawn Howard.
Hello there.
What have we got today?
Today we have one of the smallest dogs that we've ever featured. He is a one-year-old Spitz. And he's looking for a good home with owners who are present, as he barks a lot when he's left alone. Caramel is his name, because he's caramel coloured. He weighs 1.8 kilos and was given up because his owner's neighbours complained about barking when left alone. He's now at the Saint Collier Provence shelter, and he may be small, but he's a live wire and he's had very little training. He is sociable with other dogs, but can sometimes be dominant. So for that reason, they'd prefer he's either the only dog in a household or he's with a large female or a large castrated male. So he needs owners who are present and active to keep him busy and drain all that energy. He's a dog with a strong character. He may be small, but he's got a very strong character. And due to the barking, they feel that an adoption in an apartment or a village house is not a good idea. However, for new masters who can be present and to keep him busy, he'll make a lovely companion. So if you think that you can meet his needs, then email scp83@orange.fr. You can call 0619572181 to find out more or to make an appointment to go and meet him for yourself.
Has he got a handlebar moustache though, Dawn?
Oh, what am I walking into?
Spitz. Mark Spitz.
I don't get that.
Olympic swimmer. American Olympic swimmer. Not from your dim, distant childhood. He was a top star back in the day.
Very dim and distant. I might be a bit too young.
Otherwise, it's going to have to be Suzanne Vega and Caramel.
Oh, that's a good idea.
All right, thank you. Speak to you next week.
My pleasure. Thank you, Rob.
That was Woofer of the Week. For more details about this week's Woofer, go to the 106.5 Riviera Radio page on Facebook or our website at rivieraradio.mc. Woofer of the Week on 106.5 Woofiera Radio.
It was a hat trick yesterday, wasn't it?
It certainly was.
Right.
Can you do it again?
I don't know.
Question number one. On this day in 1977, Fleetwood Mac released this track from their 11th album, Rumours. It became their first and only US number one hit single.
Dreams.
Correct. Question number two. This song is about a captivating woman who cannot be tamed. It was number one on this day in the UK in 1985. And I'm going to give you some of the lyrics from it. She's the kind of girl you dream of keeping hold of. You better forget it, you'll never get it. She will play around and leave you and
Easy
deceive
lover.
You. Well done.
Phil Collins and Philip Bailey.
Correct. And finally, this English singer-songwriter was born on this day in 1949. He was a member of a pub rock group, and as a solo artist, he achieved a 1978 UK number 7 single. And in 1979, his UK single used a phrase from Shakespeare, who had used it in Hamlet. The track reached number 12. He's described in the Rolling Stones magazine as saying that he helped shape punk rock, produced Elvis Costello, and spent quality time with Johnny Cash. But his best role has been as a master songwriter who never takes himself too seriously.
Nick Lowe.
Correct. And the song?
Cruel to Be Kind.
Well done. There you go. Yee. Done it again. I'm making it too easy.
You're being nice to me today, aren't you?
Every day I'm nice
to you. Well, this is actually, if I was on Desert Island Discs, I think this might have
Would
to
be
one of my songs, yeah.
Oh,
Love Nick Lowe. Jesus of Cool album, one of the best ever made.
Riviera Radio. Business.
Good morning.
Good morning, love cap divers. That beautiful walk along the rocks there, isn't it? And it's in the spring sunshine. That would be beautiful this morning. Love that part of the south of France.
Is that the same walk that Stelios desperately tries to avoid you when he sees you coming towards him?
No, so Stelios and I have pals, and we walk around the marina and discuss the outlook for the world. So it's always a pleasant exchange of views. And then I come to meet you, and it all goes downhill, it has to be said.
Well, thank you very much for those kind words. Well, talking about going downhill, markets took a bit of a tumble yesterday. Again, rising treasuries, concerns about inflation, and a series of new lockdowns in Europe are really giving investors the jitters.
It really was. Equities trading low, as you say, concerns over extended lockdown measures right across Europe, the prospect of prolonged travel restrictions weighing on risk sentiment. Cyclical sectors, perhaps no surprise, those that benefit from a reopening of economies felt the brunt of the selling. So weakness in autos along with travel and leisure. Similar picture on Wall Street. S&P 500 was down 0.8%. Airline shares fell the most since October. Although we should recognise it's the 1 year anniversary of the S&P 500 bear market bottom. The index is up 75% from that level. So it has been a remarkable recovery, but certainly weaker yesterday. The dollar strengthened yesterday as risk aversion played out. Treasury yields fell for a second straight day, back to 1.6%. Remember last week, they're at 1.75%. This after Fed Chair Jerome Powell played down the risk that economic growth would spur unwarranted inflation. Oil traded below $60 a barrel in the session yesterday. Some concerns around supply to the market, where the market is becoming oversupplied, should I say, although the blockage in the Suez Canal could start to infringe upon supply distribution and may start to push up prices in the next couple of sessions, depending, of course, how long that blockade goes on for. In terms of markets, a risk averse yesterday, similar start to the trading session today. Currently calling the FTSE down 38 points, DAX over in Frankfurt down 81 points, CAC corner in Paris off 27 points.
Yes, it's a pretty big piece of kit, that container ship stuck across the Suez Canal, isn't it?
I mean, it's embarrassing. It's this marvellous feat of engineering, isn't it, that's changed global trade, and you're the captain of the ship who's brought that all to a standstill. It's not an ideal situation to find yourself in.
You might be looking for a new job.
You would imagine so.
OK. WeWork, of course, had a disastrous year last year as everyone stayed at home during lockdowns, but so they're projecting big things for this year.
Yeah, they are. WeWork, to remind you, fights flexible shared workspace, lost $3.2 billion as the pandemic forced them to shutter its offices. Occupancy rates plummeted, and perhaps, again, no surprise, from 72% to 47%. Perhaps the surprise is it was still as high as 47%. The loss came despite a 98% drop in capital expenditure. Despite recent issues, WeWork is still trying to push ahead with a public offering, potentially through a special purpose acquisition company. According to reports, WeWork is seeking around $1 billion in new funding. We hope to go public with a valuation of $9 billion. That new valuation would be less than a fifth of the $47 billion WeWork sought when it initially announced plans for an IPO back in 2019. You remember those plans were derailed because of concerns around the company's finances, conflict of interest, and management culture that resulted in its founder and CEO stepping down. SoftBank, its largest shareholder, was forced to inject billions of additional funding to keep the company afloat. But WeWork apparently has been offering, as you say, some optimistic projections for the business going forward, talking about earnings of $485 million next year, 90% occupancy rates by the end of 2022, revenues of $7 billion by 2024.
Yes. Do you miss your office at all? Are you looking for any office space?
Well, I do miss the office in some ways. There's some things that you don't miss, the commute, etc. But yeah, certainly working with people, being closer to people, that culture, I think. So I think we'll get to a point where it'll be a balance between what we had before in the office, 12 hours a day, 5 days a week, to something probably 2-3 days a week and a little bit more flexibility at home. Let's hope we get to that point.
Do you think your personal assistant misses you?
I wouldn't have thought so. She seems rather happy that there's some distance between us.
No, Mr. Potts.
You have a very outdated view of the modern working environment, it has to be said. Have you missed the headmaster? I know he's been away from the office. Have you missed his input?
I've got a photograph of him on my wall to remind me of what he looks like.
Quite right.
So do you send her out for sandwiches and stuff, you know? Going
out for sandwiches, no. I do miss a bit of... I wouldn't mind some sushi. Pret is probably not doing particularly well. Has to be said. Interesting to see that Pret is deciding to move away from core city areas and focus on perhaps urban areas where more workers are likely to be. So certainly some changes coming through
from that. Sandwiches. You were always sneaking out for a sumptuous lunch, weren't you, you know? Yeah. Spatchcock chicken and all the trimmings.
You like that, didn't you? You enjoyed that.
Going by.
The best meal you had and a little show to enjoy as well.
I should just remind you that Henk and I went out for lunch in Canary Wharf. And
it's about 15 years ago now.
Is it that long ago? Yeah.
Maybe.
And while we were sort of enjoying our spatchcock chicken and a glass of wine, a couple of office workers proceeded to get extremely amorous right in front of us just down by the water, didn't they?
They did.
Young love.
Yes.
Right, moving back on to personal matters, the US stimulus package and big plans for infrastructure, what's that going to involve, do you think?
Yeah, after enacting that $1.9 trillion relief plan, President Biden turning his attention to his economic recovery plan, likely centred around infrastructure investment and climate change, could come with a price tag as much as $3 trillion. Focus will be on boosting the economy, particularly around high growth future industries. So rolling out of 5G will be an important component of that, but also some of the traditional infrastructure, building roads, building bridges, upgrading the railroad will be an important component of that element, reducing carbon emissions, narrowing economic inequality is some of the things that we'll hear about. Plan is likely to be done in stages rather than one go. $1 trillion apparently earmarked for infrastructure investment and clean energy and likely to be the first on the agenda. The long-term economic plan is expected to be accompanied by revenue-raising exercise as well. So what does that mean? Probably higher corporation tax, higher levels of personal tax rates for the wealthy in the United States as well.
Yeah, it's not just the US that needs a major upgrade to its infrastructure. I mean, parts of Europe are crumbling. I mean, the French government's got big problems with its nuclear power stations, and the road and rail infrastructure, well, not so bad in France, but in Italy, yep. We saw what happened to that. So that Genoa bridge collapse a couple of years ago, and actually quite a lot of the big bridges in France are sort of at risk as well.
Build back better is going to be the key, and build back green. So these are things that we're going to hear an awful lot about. So far, what we've been seeing from governments is emergency measures to keep households, to keep businesses afloat. Increasingly, they'll be wanting to stimulate the economy, but in a way that generates future growth. And that's where this infrastructure investment is going to come in. So very targeted, very focused on that climate change agenda. And of course, something that's being debated in Monaco during the course of this week with the Ocean Week, and these are some of the areas that there's plenty of opportunities for investors in the coming years to take advantage of.
Yeah, they also need to look at how much stuff is shipped via these giant container ships, and also getting HGVs off the roads and using the rail infrastructure more widely.
Yeah, Warren Buffett certainly betting on the rail infrastructure was going to be important in terms of that transition towards cleaner energy and removing some of those emissions, and certainly appears to be the key. They need to upgrade those elements to make it a viable concept. We're certainly not at that point yet. And then you start to look at the post-pandemic world and the role of deliveries and particularly things like Amazon and online retailing, what impact that's having on the environment, and perhaps how you start to combat some of those after effects.
Bring back Casey Jones.
Who's Casey Jones?
You never used to watch Casey Jones when you were a nipper?
No. Casey Jones.
The train driver.
Oh, no. I was on European Squawk Box. CNBC. Brilliant.
Foreign exchanges.
Casey Jones. Pound against
the
dollar.
Steaming and a rolling.
137. Euro dollar coming in at 118.5. Just below 1 euro 16 cents for your British pound this morning.
Yeah, pound's taken a bit of a tumble over the last couple of sessions, isn't it?
Has come off a little bit. UK inflation numbers actually pretty weak this morning. So perhaps that's starting to play into expectations around the threat of inflation. And what that... You all right?
Sorry, I just dropped my notes.
Dear me. They're worth millions, those notes, aren't they? Be careful. No real threat of higher rates in the UK, but that's playing through into sterling.
Thank you so much.
Have a good day, sir.
Speak to you tomorrow.
Cheers.
Hang past some Barclays.
On FM and DAB Plus across the Côte d'Azur, on your phone and worldwide online. This is Riviera Radio with the latest local news for the south of France.
Sarah Lyster has the top stories across the Riviera.
France is experiencing the third wave of the COVID-19 pandemic. While new lockdown measures were introduced in 16 departments last Saturday, the health situation is also deteriorating in the rest of the country, as shown by figures published by Public Health France. The incident rate is increasing well beyond the confined areas. Between March the 1st and March the 19th, the number of departments with an incidence rate above the alert threshold of 250 increased from 21 to 42, with a large part of the departments in the Provence-Alpes-Côte d'Azur region and the east of the Auvergne-Rhône-Alpes region. Indeed, the Provence-Alpes-Côte d'Azur region health agency announced on Tuesday the activation of level 5 in intensive care units due to the pressure. This means postponing some medical procedures to increase the capacity to treat severe cases of COVID. On Tuesday, 510 COVID-19 patients were occupying intensive care beds in the region, despite several dozen medical evacuations in recent weeks. Meanwhile, the government spokesman, Gabriel Attal, speaking on French media, said that at this stage, no decision has been taken concerning a lockdown in the Var, adding that a decision will be made at the Defence Council, which meets today. The French government's Scientific Advisory Council has warned that if the measures imposed last weekend on nearly one-third of the national population are not enough to stem the rising tide of COVID-19 infections, then tougher restrictions will have to be considered. Arnaud Fontana, a member of the Special Scientific Council advising President Emmanuel Macron's government, said that if the government restrictions are strictly respected, they could work to reduce the COVID infection rate. But if the rules are not respected, it won't be enough. The specialist went on to say that the current rate of increase of infections is not quite as severe as that observed last spring. However, he suggested that in badly affected areas, the closure of colleges and high schools would have to be considered. The president of the Provence-Alpes-Côte d'Azur region, Renaud Muselier, has suggested to turn all public high school gymnasiums in the region into vaccination centres during the Easter holidays. The project has been submitted to the health minister, Olivier Véran, for authorisation. Some 150 high schools from Nice to Marseille have been identified by the region, which proposes to open them during the two-week spring holiday in Zone B, i.e. from April the 26th to May the 9th, in order to further accelerate the fight against the pandemic. To date, 512,000 first doses have already been administered in the PACO region, a region with some 5 million inhabitants spread over the Alpes de la Haute-Provence, the Haute Alps, the Alpes-Maritimes, the Bouches-du-Rhône, the Var and the Vaucluse. And on Tuesday, 9 classes were closed in the Alpes-Maritimes due to cases of COVID. For a full list, go to rivieradio.mc. Meanwhile, here in Monaco, 17 new cases of COVID were declared on Tuesday, bringing the total number of residents affected to 2,199. 34 people are in hospital and 65 are being followed by the Home Monitoring Centre. And the Union of Wine Specialists of France has called for priority vaccination for wine professionals. In a press release, the union said that wine professionals had been particularly impacted in their profession by the loss of taste and smell caused by COVID-19. The union underlines that in its unprecedented study carried out in the summer of 2020, out of 2,625 wine professionals in 37 countries, including France, nearly 38% of wine professionals had lost their taste or smell because of COVID. In other news, three men and two women have been sentenced to terms of up to 14 months in prison, responsible for a series of fires in the Dordogne during the Yellow Vest movement. During the hearing on Tuesday, they were prosecuted for criminal conspiracy and destruction of private property back in December of 2018. Environmental groups have expressed their dismay at leaked proposals by the European Union to classify some gas plants as green-friendly investments. Sebastien Godinot, an economist with the World Wildlife Fund, has sounded the alarm over the plan in an open letter to the EU executive, saying gas is a fossil fuel and the very idea of classifying it as environmentally sustainable is a complete disgrace. Finally, users of Android mobile phones have been experiencing problems with their devices since Tuesday, with millions of complaints. The update of the Android WebView system is said to be the cause of the failure. The bug is believed to have come from a major crash affecting the services of Google. And according to the Android Twitter account, Samsung Galaxy users, especially more recent ones, are more affected than others. A little tip to make your smartphone work again, disable the updates for this application, as well as Chrome in the settings of your laptop.
Riviera Radio Sports News.
What?
What? What? The Android? You haven't got an Android, have you?
No. My Android replica is playing up again. Cricket. India have beaten England by 66 runs in the first one-day international in Pune. India batted first and made 317 for 5 from their 50 overs. In reply, England could only manage 251 from 42.1 overs. The second game in the three-match series is being played on Friday. Football. The former England striker Frank Worthington has died at the age of 72 after a long illness. Worthington won 8 caps and scored 2 goals for the national team. He was the ultimate journeyman footballer and started his career at Huddersfield Town. He went on to make more than 200 appearances for Leicester City and played for a range of clubs including Bolton, Birmingham City, Southampton, Leeds United and Sunderland. He was also known for his flamboyant antics off the pitch as well as his maverick skills on it. Do you remember Frank?
Yes, I do.
Great player he was, and the owner of the finest mullet in footballing history.
He certainly was.
Here's more football from BBC Sports.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Hello, I'm Paul Serres at the BBC Sports Centre. Gareth Bale says he plans to return to Real Madrid next season after his loan at Tottenham ends. The Wales captain rejoined Spurs on a season-long loan in September, but has a year left on his Real contract, which expires in the summer of 2022. Bale says the uncertainty over his future won't affect his concentration on this summer's European Championships.
No, it's no distraction for me coming into the Euros. I think the main reason I came to Spurs this year was obviously I wanted to play football first and foremost, but going into Euros, I wanted to be match fit. So, The original plan was only to do a season at Spurs, and then after the Euros, I still have a year left at Real Madrid. And as far as my plan, obviously, is to go back, and that's as far as I plan, to be honest.
Aston Villa striker Ollie Watkins has joined up with the England squad for the first time this week. Gareth Southgate's side start their World Cup qualifying campaign against San Marino at Wembley on Thursday. And Watkins reflected on how far he's come since playing in non-league just 6 years ago.
It has been a great journey, and I've had some tough times on the way, but also some good ones. I was actually speaking to the SNC coach here, Ben, and about three and a half years ago, as he came into Brentford for a day, I was asking him, what Harry Kane's routine like? Yeah, a few years later, I'm here training with him. Yeah, it is a bit of a shock, but enjoyable as well.
Manchester United striker Mason Greenwood has withdrawn from England's under-21 squad for the European Championships because of an injury. It was the 19-year-old's first call-up to any England squad since he was sent home from the first team last September, having breached coronavirus protocols. And for more football news from the BBC, go to bbc.com/football.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
In World Cup qualifying tonight, France play Ukraine, Belgium host Wales and Serbia play the Republic of Ireland. Formula One drivers will be announced to take the knee to demonstrate their opposition to racism before Grand Prix this season. The move is part of an initiative to promote sustainability, diversity and inclusion. Unlike last year, the pre-race demonstration will not be just devoted to anti-racism, but drivers will be able to choose their own gesture to support inclusivity on the grid. Lewis Hamilton, who led the process last season, says the most important thing is action in the background. He said that racism continues to be an issue that affects his day-to-day life, as well as the lives of so many people. Rugby Union. Eddie Jones is facing crunch talks with the English Rugby Union following his side's fifth-place Six Nations finish. Jones is contracted until the 2023 World Cup and has spoken of his desire to win the tournament in France. The Rugby Football Union boss Bill Sweeney says there will be a brutally honest review of England's performance. The review will take place next month and will involve a panel of rugby experts from both inside and outside the RFU. And in tennis, Andy Murray has been forced to pull out of the Miami Open. The 33-year-old had been due to play Lloyd Harris in the first round later today, but has picked up a groin injury. Murray said he didn't know where the injury had come from and why it happened. He added he'd been having trouble walking. Poor lad.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Accelerate Marine.
It's groin injuries, most unpleasant. For coastal areas up to 20 miles offshore the Almara Sea in the VAR, the general situation is an anticyclone 1,025 millibars over the Mediterranean. Winds are variable, force 1 to 3, the sea is calm, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Saint-Jean-Cap-Ferrat, 1,022 millibars. And the outlook for Thursday, clear skies, force 3 to 4, southwesterly winds, slight seas and good visibility. For North Corsica, winds are southwesterly, force 2 to 4. The sea is slight, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Cap Corse, 1,023 millibars. And the outlook for Thursday, clear skies, force 2 to 4. Southwesterly winds, slight seas and good visibility.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Accelerate Marine. For enhanced, high-performing connectivity on board your yacht, speak to our expert team today about our VSAT and 4G packages. Visit connectmyyacht.com.
Riviera Radio. Weather.
Mainly fine, light variable winds, top temperature 15 or 16 degrees this afternoon, overnight lows 6 to 8 degrees with clear skies Thursday and Friday, mainly fine tomorrow, sunshine and showers on Friday, highs of 14 to 16 degrees. Here we go, 2, 3, 4. I've still got Jilted John on the brain from yesterday.
Oh, you haven't? Oh, crikey.
Finally.
And finally, a sigh of relief at this one because I was led to believe that making your bed in the morning sets you up for a positive and productive day with everything falling into nice, orderly fashion. So it became a bit of an obsession in our household. But of course, it did not make the slightest bit of difference to my day running smoothly. Well, it now appears making your bed could be bad for your health.
What?
Well, apparently household experts have said that household dust mites love the warmth of your bed. So in the morning, don't make your bed straight away. You should pull back your covers for 30 minutes and leave them to air and cool down before making your bed.
Were you on the planet before duvets were invented?
Yeah, but still, it's still
did you
making...
have sheets and pillows?
Why? You're not telling me you make your bed every morning.
Well,
no, you're
not there.
To
make it.
You leave somebody else does
but
it
did
for
you. Did
you
have sheets and blankets and stuff when you were growing up, or did you have a duvet?
I had sheets and blankets to begin with, and then right. The revolution of the duvet.
The revolution, yeah. Because I mean, then that was a bit of a chore, wasn't
you
it?
Had
actually,
eiderdowns.
Making the bed with sheets and blankets. Yeah, but the eiderdown went over the top, didn't it?
Yeah.
But now you just have to throw the duvet over, and it's all done. Just plump the pillows
well, don't,
up a bit.
Don't leave it
okay,
to
I
air.
Won't. I'll
roll
never do
it back
it
and leave
again.
It to air when you leave.
See?
Bet the other person will really appreciate
so
that.
So next time somebody asks me to make the bed, I say I'm not allowed to. Sarah said I couldn't. You're up to date. The news is on the website, RivieraRadio.mc.